Our study tonight is out of Haggai, the Old Testament prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verses 10 through 19, the need for holiness, for ministry blessing. Haggai, the first prophet after the Babylonian captivity, was assigned by God to direct Israel to get back to the work of rebuilding the temple after the work had been delayed for 15 years. Sin is incredibly destructive, not only in living, but especially in serving the Lord in a ministry. And Haggai 2, 10 to 19 clarified it in very clear terms. So we view the passage for our insight and our application. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Haggai 2, 10 through 19. In the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh, that's a flesh that's been offered up as a sacrifice, in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or stew or wine or oil or any meat, shall it become holy? And the priests answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one who is unclean, by way of touching a dead body, touches any of these things, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you consider from this day and backward, I'll retranslate that, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. One came to the press fat to draw out 50 vessels of the press, and there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all of the labors of your hands. Yet you did not turn to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, or forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day of the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. But from this day forth, I will bless you. All right. 3 months after Zerubbabel and Joshua had led Israel's people to heed Haggai's message about returning to the work of rebuilding the temple, God's word came to Haggai. The Lord's message dealt with the reality that one's much-needed holiness for blessing cannot be transferred, but that sin's defilement is as easily transferable as a contagious disease. The Lord had Haggai learn from the priests if holiness was transferable under the law. Haggai was to ask the priests if, according to the Mosaic law, one could transfer holiness from consecrated sacrificial meat to other objects that were touched by the meat. When asked, the priests replied that holiness was not transferable from the meat to other objects. Now, the only case where I know holiness was transferable was by the miraculous work of Jesus Christ. One day he came along, there was a body of a boy who had died, and he was being carried on a bier, which is like a cot up high above the shoulders of people. They were going to bury the body. And Jesus came up, and he touched it and made the boy rise from the dead. That's transferring holiness. He's the only one who can do that. But according to the law, that wouldn't happen to other people. Well, the Lord then directed Haggai to learn from the priests if defilement was transferable. Haggai asked the priesthood of someone who is ceremonially clean for having touched a dead body, if that he touched any of other item, would it be ceremonially contaminated? When asked, the priest replied that these objects, if touched by the defiled person, would be defiled. So God's prophet Haggai then explained that the Lord's application of this lesson to Israel's people, teaching that their former disobedience to God's in ceasing to work on the temple, being sin, had defiled all the works of their hands, and that defilement had spiritually corrupted everybody in Israel's community through their all heeding the saying that it was not time to return to the work of rebuilding the temple. If you go back to Haggai chapter 1, Verse 2. This is the first message that God has, and it's a complaint about a saying that was going in Israel, and it was corrupting absolutely everybody. Notice what the saying was. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, verse 2, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's temple should be built. Now, the Lord had started them. He had directed them to get back to building the temple. But someone had come up. They'd run into some problems. There was a king, the emperor, that had told them to stop. So they said, well, it's not the Lord's will. Let's hold it up. And that saying was picked up by everybody. And when everybody picked it up, they disobeyed the Lord by ceasing to work on the temple. So when they disobeyed the Lord, notice how it corrupted them. They were corrupted before the Lord. They were out of fellowship with the Lord. So everything they touched, because of the law, everything they touched by way of livelihood, whether it was raising olives, figs, pomegranates, grain, everything they touched got corrupted so that God couldn't bless them. It was all because of the saying that started in the people. It's amazing. Well, thus, with the word upward being properly translated backward, actually, to indicate past time in Haggai 2:15 in the King James Version, Haggai said that the people should consider that before they had obeyed the Lord in returning to the temple work, their grain harvest had suffered a 50% drop, and their grape harvest had dropped 60%. The people had suffered blight and mildew and judgment for disobedience as warned for sin in the Mosaic covenant, back in Deuteronomy 28:22, and destructive hail. Isaiah 28:2 and 30:30 indicates how God would judge by hail. And these are catastrophic problems for agricultural societies like ancient Israel. Nevertheless, the people had not turned to the Lord to obey him in returning to the rebuilding work. Also, the people were to consider that from the day that they had returned to laying the foundation of the temple, 3 months before, to that day, 3 months later, that the drought of divine judgment had already affected the year's harvest, so that their barns were already emptied of the sparse harvest. They had neither staples, that's seed or grapes or olives, or luxuries. Figs and pomegranates, incidentally, were luxuries. To this, too, they were to give careful thought, meaning that they were to realize how their disobedience and failing to keep at their ministry duty of rebuilding the temple had hurt the productivity of each of their livelihood endeavors. I think this is fascinating. They had started to obey the Lord, but then they stopped. When God wants you to do something, if you stop meanwhile, that's disobedience. With God, if he calls you to do work, you do work till it's done. If you stop partway through, that's disobedience. Nevertheless, since they had since persisted in the rebuilding effort, God said from that day onward, he was going to bless them in all these realms where they had experienced a lack of divine blessing. See, they had started working before, once, and then they cut it out. So God waited until they started again. He waited another 3 months to make sure they're not going to quit this time. And sure enough, they didn't quit. So he says, all right, since you haven't quit this time, I'm going to bless you. But if you'd quit, looked out, I wasn't going to bless you at all. So God does not like quitting. When he calls us to ministry, we are supposed to keep at it. So the lesson is, by sinning and ceasing to obey God's calling to rebuild the temple, that sin had corrupted everything else that their sinful hands of Israel's people had touched. Because sin is so very contagious and limits God's blessings. However, since the people had heeded the Lord's prophet to return to God's calling to rebuild the temple, and they had stuck to the work, that's the key, they had stuck to the work for 3 months, the Lord promised to provide them a restoration of livelihood blessings. Now, this ninth month is the month that occurs in December. So you're not growing any crops in December. But God says, you watch from this day on. It might be winter. From this day on, I'm going to be blessing you. So look out. Application. Got a bunch of applications here. May we realize that God's directives on what we should do to serve him are so important that starting to obey them only to cease doing so corrupts and hurts everything else that we do, including our work to earn a living. Now, if we face widespread decreases in blessing in various realms of our life, especially livelihood, may we examine if we have failed to continue to obey the Lord in our calling from Him and return to His calling as needed. Number three, may we note that God blesses us if we obey Him in staying at the ministry assignment He gave us, not necessarily if we adopt a view of other believers to cease the effort. For God and other believers can greatly differ in their view of the ministry. Boy, ain't that the truth. If God calls you to get involved in the ministry, no matter if your great aunt tells you, I need to stop it, or some other well-meaning believer says, I think you need to stop that. No, no, no. If God led you into it, He wants you to finish the work and to finish it. I remember when I was 64, I was going to get ready to turn 65, and of course that's when you're supposed to retire and everything. We had three of our missionaries, Bob Buffard, Dr. Pat Keat, and Tom Buckley. They came by, and all three of them said, you never retire from the Lord's work. They all said it. So I thought, okay, I better get this. You don't do that. And in fact, I was talking with Dr. Keat privately when he came this last time, and he says, oh yes, I very firmly believe that God calls you. You stay at it until you drop dead. So I said, okay, you know, that's an interesting thing. Many years ago, my parents were missionaries in Nigeria, West Africa, and there was one of our missionaries who was working in Muslim territory in northern Nigeria, very, very dark, very hard. He wasn't getting any converts, which is typical. Sometimes you have to work 20, 25 years before you even get someone who's actually warmed up to the gospel, let alone coming to believe in Christ. And one night, and he wasn't getting any, one night he was wakened and there was a figure by his bed, and he knew that it was a demon because it wasn't a real person. And the figure told him, you're not wanted here. So he took it from the Lord, I better stay. He'd go the opposite of what this does, so he decided to stay. And he continued ministering. Later, I think about 20 years later, there was a revival there. They were showing the Jesus film on the wall of the mosque, the Muslim mosque, and leading people to Jesus by the droves. This is Muslim territory, very, very difficult territory. And there in Muslim territory, if you accept Christ as your Savior, you can be killed by your family members. But there were people coming to Christ left and right. So we're very glad that that missionary decided to stay. The demons didn't want him to go at it, and everybody thought that he was just churning his wheels, but he wasn't. The Lord was using him and working at it. So I'd like to encourage you, if the Lord has directed you to get involved in the ministry, don't quit. Stay at it until the Lord either calls you home or He directs you Himself. And no matter what anybody else tells you, you'll have a lot of people who give you insight, and maybe people will think you should quit it. No, don't do that. Stick to it. And the Lord will really, really bless.